Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. We are fresh from our Adam Hess two-parter, Dave.
Oh yeah, yes we are, aren't we? So that was like, weirdly, if we'd have planned it better, we should have done that as like a season finale. But no, instead it's just sort of in the middle because of circumstance. But never mind, we are back now with just the regular one-parters, which, you know, people might be disappointed with, people might be thrilled about, because some would say you can have too much Adam Hess. Not me. But some might. The laugh you can hear is the voice of this week's friend. It's the wonderful comedy writer and actor and podcaster herself. It's Beth Granville. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
So, yeah, just to catch you up on what happened, we had Adam in 2 weeks ago, and we spent so long talking about his just obsession with Friends in general that we didn't actually get around to talking about his episode until about 40 minutes in.
That's hilarious. And so Adam Hess.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very much just a stream of consciousness about Friends, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So we ended up doing a two-parter, like off of Friends, with a cliffhanger, which was very much not a cliffhanger. But there you go. So look, here's the thing. If you talk for too long today, we might have to just cut you off like Adam Hess.
Well, I'm going to go for a three-parter. I'm going to try and like outdo Adam now.
Yeah, so part one is just going to be sort of general chitter-chatter about life. Then we'll just talk about Friends in part two, and then your episode in part three. That sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, perfect.
Great. So yeah, well, like, come on. Let's try our best to do the old traditional one-episode podcast, shall we?
Yes.
Talk to us about Friends, Beth Granville. What is your history and relationship with the TV show Friends?
Well, it was a funny thing in our house because my mum quite liked it and my dad hated it. I was very much brought up on a comedy diet of like Rick Mail from my dad.
Yeah.
And he just thought it was the most saccharine, awful thing. And he'd be like, no, I can't stay in the room while Friends is on. And my mum quite liked it. And I always liked all the comedy my dad liked. So like it was like, oh, I'm torn now because I quite like this, but my dad doesn't think it's cool, so it can't be cool.
Right.
Then I had friends at school that were obsessed with it. They had the pencil cases, probably the mugs, like the mug I've just bought you, Dave. The Central Perk mug.
Just to catch you up, Pete, Beth has brought me an actual Central Perk mug into the studio today.
People are bringing you all sorts this series, aren't they? You've had food and now you've had a mug.
I know, I'm excited.
Is it enough to move you down to London, do you think?
Yeah. Are we talking a giant Central Perk style coffee cup? Is that
yes.
what's going on?
Yeah, literally, like the actual thing with the Central Perk.
If you're on Instagram, I'm about to tag Dave in a story with it, so you'll get to see it.
Oh, okay.
There you go. You can get a glimpse behind the magic of your own podcast, Pete.
Yes.
What a real treat. But yeah, I've always... Do you know what? It's one of those things that, weirdly, I never knew that I always wanted until I had it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Now I'm like, they're the best gifts.
Right. Considering that how much I love Friends, I should have had a mug like this in my life since...
Well, I sent you a picture, didn't I, saying you've got, I presume you've already got this, yeah?
Yeah.
One day said no. I was like, sold.
This isn't, it's mad, isn't it?
Mad.
But it's just the best thing. It's the it's weird, like, because I presume they scaled them down a bit since. So do you remember when Friends started and they were like the size of your head, these mugs, like proper. And this is like now, Pete, a good, like, I still describe it as a large mug. Like,
it's a good size mug,
If I had it full of tea, I'd be...
Out of character, because you don't drink
tea. Well, I don't drink tea at all, yeah. But full of tea, people would be questioning my sanity. But it would be a lot.
That was good Dave Cribb knowledge there, Beth, that he didn't drink tea.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I don't really drink hot drinks.
Do you
a little
not?
Fact that I imagine nobody listening will be interested in, but
I think it's fascinating when people don't like hot drinks.
You now know that. Why?
I don't know.
You wouldn't frequent Central Perk as much as the others, would you?
No, you wouldn't. I don't know. If I offer somebody a cup of tea when they come to my house and they don't accept it, I feel like weird. It's like the grammar of a social visit for me.
Right. Yeah.
If I knew you were coming round, I'd get some Diet Coke in.
Good night.
But it's like, I just panic and I'm like, oh, do you want a glass of milk? Someone says someone. And then if they say no to that, I'm just fucked because I don't know how to welcome somebody into my house. If it's not with tea or coffee, it's sort of, and my family are obsessed with tea, like in a Mrs. Doyle kind of way. So I guess it just throws me off.
It's the same for me because it basically means I don't know what to drink if I meet someone before about 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like maybe 1 p.m. depending on the day. But when you sort of have that, you know, you meet someone for a drink and, oh, let's go for coffee. Can't do it. Cup of tea. It's like, do I want to drink a hot chocolate and be like a child?
Yeah. Well,
and then I just end up drinking like a glass of water.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, good to keep hydrated. But
it's very humble, a glass of water.
It is, yeah. And do you know what though? I wish I drank coffee because I feel like it would make me more sophisticated. When I was a kid, I was like, one day, like I was watching Friends, one day I'll grow up and I'll drink
coffee. It's a cool, nice thing to do. It's a social thing, isn't it? And yeah, Friends very much. I remember thinking that's the dream, like, them all sat round in that cafe chatting, having fun. And that's what I love about Friends still, is that it's a family and they're friends.
Mm.
So it's still your family sitcom. Everyone has their different roles within that family, but they're friends, which I guess is an obvious thing to say. But as an adult, you go, oh, yeah, that's really nice. That's what you think uni's going to be. And, you know, I've ended up living with mates a lot longer than I ever thought I might.
Yeah.
Because I always thought I'd settle down and have children at 25.
Didn't we all, Beth? But look at us all now.
I know, right?
How did you choose your episode of Friends, please?
Because every time I think of Friends, I think of Ross with those really white teeth. and I was like, what's that one? I was like, what's the one? I was saying to my mate that I live with, Lucy, I was like, Lucy, what's the one with Ross's teeth where he whitens them? And she was like, oh, I think it's the one with Ross's teeth. And I was like, oh, yeah, perfect.
It's true, because he texted me that and went, oh, I want to do the one where Ross gets his teeth done. And I was like, I think it's called the one with Ross's teeth, but she would have just said that. So I'll just double check what it's called.
It's so funny because that is so imprinted in my mind. What's really interesting, actually, is it's so imprinted in my mind, that image of Ross with those ultraviolet teeth. Yeah. As just such a beautiful physical comedy moment. And then when I watched the episode back, that was the moment that I laughed least. And it wasn't the payoff I wanted in the end.
Oh,
it's really funny when he's got those white teeth throughout and they're in the cafe and he smiles. I was really laughing out loud at that. But at the end, I thought, well, like, as a comedy writer now, I feel like a note I would get if that was a journey would be, yeah, but we expect his date to go badly because his teeth are that white.
Yeah.
She should love the teeth.
Right.
She should go, well, your teeth aren't white enough. And he's like, oh, God, she's awful. She likes these teeth.
Right. It was the interesting thing is that, so we'll get onto this in a minute and we properly dissect
it. Yeah,
but no. But that is literally the first thing I was like, ultimately, it's not that bad.
She's completely appalled, isn't she?
Yeah, like in a way that is almost implausible. Like,
yes, especially because everyone's teeth look like that under those lights. Yeah. Why is she? I'd be like more annoyed at her lights. I'd be like, why have you? Ross does make a joke about those.
Why have you got? Why have you got a black light?
Yeah, exactly. In 1999 or whatever. Like.
Right, let's talk about it then. The Walrus's Teeth, here's the synopsis in case you haven't watched it recently. Weirdly, on Wikipedia, it's usually fairly comprehensive, these plot lines, aren't they, Pete? This one doesn't even include one of the three storylines. So I'll just have to... So here's what it says on Wikipedia. So it's Series 6, Episode 8, the one with Ross's teeth. Ross goes too far while trying to impress a date by over-whitening his teeth. And Phoebe may or may not have made out with Ralph Lauren, which gets Rachel into trouble with her boss. So that's two of the three. And there's also this storyline where Chandler gets mad at Joey for being too girly because Janine's moved into the flat and started bringing flowers and paintings and art and, you know, just sort of stuff into the flat. And there's this strange, we'll talk about this more as we go on, but there's this slightly strange, like, you're not enough of a man anymore.
It's so odd.
And it's so odd. Should we start with that one? Let's start with that one.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that's a bit like, I kind of went back and forth on this storyline, right? And I think 80 to 90% of it is kind of knowing. Do you know what I mean? So like it's knowingly written and performed in the sense that you kind of get the impression that Chandler's the idiot, right?
Yeah.
So, but then occasionally there's just these moments where, you know, Joey goes, oh my God, I am a woman. And suddenly I go, oh, is it quite knowing enough that
Yeah.
You know, it felt like they were undermining the whole...
It's the qualities as well that they make out to be feminine, because there's one point where Joey is just slightly sensitive to something Chandler says, and it's not what you said, it's the way you said it. And it's this kind of really... just completely petty sort of problem that Joey has, and they attribute that to him being feminine.
Yeah.
Like, that is a feminine quality.
Yeah, that's it. So up until then, so it basically starts.
That's
so this
problematic,
is
problematic, isn't it?
Yeah, we've hit the problematic buzzer quite early on this episode. So it starts because Chandler's moved out now. He's in with Monica. We have Janine in, who is a so-so character across Friends.
How do we feel about?
I find Janine quite annoying in general.
Yeah, she's not given much in that era.
I think she's made more annoying by not being well acted. I don't think she acts very well.
No, I mean, she's not really an actor, is she?
Yeah, she doesn't bring... Model, yeah. No, she is stunning, though. So if she was a good actor as well, I'd be fuming.
I would be furious.
You're rubbish in this.
You're right, though. She isn't really given much to do.
I don't think she's given much. She also doesn't bring much.
No, but she's there for a few episodes. But so the premise is that she's brought all these stuff. There's flowers and there's potpourri and there's photos on the wall and pictures and art. And Chandler... comes in, and this first scene is like what I was saying about it being quite knowing. Chandler comes in and basically goes, "Oh mate, you're a man. This is a guy's apartment. What's going on?" And I'm like, your brain goes, "Oh God, oh, it's going to be awful." But then they undermine it completely quickly by Monica coming in and going, "Chandler, come on." And you know, suddenly it's flipped on his head, and it's like, "Oh yeah, you know, Chandler's
be right there, sweetums."
Yeah, Chandler's subservient to Monica, and you know, we get the impression that it's just Chandler being a bit of a fool. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting... I don't think on the Friends problematic scale it registers really high, but there are moments in it, aren't there?
It pays off beautifully with her going... I really, really enjoyed her going, "Do you want all this stuff in your room?"
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've lived with men a lot over the years, lots of groups of guys, and there's not a single guy I know that's ever... not really enjoyed the cushions and things that I've brought into the house. Like, I hate the gender stereotyping thing.
Right.
But it is, girls do like nice, pretty things, and guys don't seem to care as much in general. Like, some of my male friends that live together, they have some nice things in there, but they are gay, I have to say. I don't like the gender stereotype thing, and I don't know where it needs to come from. I guess we need to, I don't know, I guess it's how we raise boys and girls and what we teach them to like. It's like, oh, you'll like this cushion and you'll like this action man. I mean, I don't know, but it is funny because it does resonate and you do relate to it. Because I do think, yeah, like I do have tiny boxes which have got nothing in. Like, why have I got those? They look pretty. They spark joy when I look at them. And there's some, you know, Tim, who, sorry, this is really often, but Tim, Dave's friend, who's in the musical
band.
Yeah,
Tim Byrne.
I mean, I went to his house and I was like, is there some kind of service where, you know, you can call a handyman or a task rabbit where someone will come in and like fix things and put your furniture together. Can you get a girl in here? Like, can you just pay for someone to just make this a bit nicer?
Right.
And I think most men acknowledge that having a girl around does make things nicer.
Yeah.
So... that I'm glad that pays off.
Yeah, I think the whole episode nicely encapsulates the fact that actually Joey's really into it, and he gets into it more and more as it goes on. But Chandler just gets more and more irate, doesn't he, as this storyline progresses.
Joey just starts as being ignorant about it as well, because obviously there's the confusion over him eating the potpourri.
That's really funny. And the gags are great within that storyline. There's such strong gags. Like, it might be a famous watering can.
Yeah.
Like, and this baby. Do you know this baby? Because actually that is weird, having a picture of someone else's baby.
They were
fashionable, weren't they, those baby pictures?
Yes.
But that is weird.
Yeah.
I'm glad they stayed in the 90s. Because I wouldn't want a picture of a baby with flowers around it. So drawing attention to those things also is the ridiculousness of some of the things we have.
Yes.
It's funny too.
Talking of them being knowing, this is one of the first references, I think, that as part of the storyline, they're all talking about how their bosses hate them.
Yes.
Central Perk quite early in this episode. And they all sort of go, oh, maybe just bosses hate everyone in general. This is part of the Ralph Lauren thing. And Joey says... in one of like the quite first knowing bits of Friends, kind of, maybe it's because you're all sat around here at 11:30 on a Wednesday morning.
And it's a rare bit of self-awareness.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really
it's
nice
funny.
That Friends acknowledge that. And it's just sort of like, oh yeah, like, Cool.
It's breaking the fourth wall almost, isn't it?
It is. What, 6 years in?
Yeah.
Okay, people are starting to say.
What we're all thinking. Yeah, because my dad used to be like, why haven't they got jobs? How are they maintaining that flat? What's going on?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Chandler basically goes over to Joey's. And again, we find this bit of Chandler being pulled and pushed in the sort of masculine, feminine gender stereotypes, don't we? Because he's spending the day with Monica making something out of old pantyhose or something.
Yeah,
at the
he's
table.
Putting lavender and rose petals. And I went, that's brilliant, I'm going to do that.
Hey, top tip.
Oh, I've got so many old tights that I don't wear.
So what, they're putting lavender in the tights and then the tights are going to go in the drawer?
Yeah, you tie
so
them
stop.
At the top and they make your underwear smell nice. It's right. Yeah.
Is that a required... Is it required to make your clean underwear smell cleaner than the...
No, I don't think so. But, you know, there's always stuff in your drawers that you don't wear, you routinely don't wear, which you should probably throw out, or unless there are certain things that are nice that you don't wear all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of just keeping the drawer in general just sort of, like, nice and fresh smelling, yeah. I guess.
Absolutely.
Sold.
Top tips. Full of top tips and funny. His friend. So Chandler's spent this time doing this. Then he goes over to Joey's where he's flower arranging with Janine and Chandler gets annoyed. And this whole thing pays off against the Ross teeth whitening storyline, doesn't it? Because, again, we'll come on to this in a sec, but Monica's been giving him tips on to, you know, she's like, if you can't make your teeth less white, maybe we make your face a different colour.
Yeah. So she's saying, just get some new skin. Yeah. that was really funny.
And then she says, put some makeup on. So Chandler ends up going over to Joey's, finding him flower arranging, and then going to Ross's and finding him putting on makeup.
Yeah.
And that's the payoff where he goes, where are all the men? And he's a bit on the nose, isn't it, that where are all the men?
Yeah.
Line.
It's like you just think, well, they sat in the writer's room and went, oh, I don't know. Because they are those difficult ones to top, to end, you know? Did they just go, oh, I'll just say, where are all the men? Yeah, that'll do. Let's have the day off.
It's kind of just saying the same gag all the way through, Chandler, isn't it? Like, stop being a girl. Why are you not being a man? Yeah. In this sort of different wording. And then, like you say, the whole episode pays off with Joey going, sort of telling Janine, look, I can't have all this girly stuff in the flat.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, but how about that? I'll put that in my room. I'll put that in. She ends up going, should we just put it all in your room? And I don't know if this is one of those ones when in the Friends chronology. Do we ever see Joey's room after this? Is it full? Is it always full of potpourri and pictures of babies on walls?
I hope that it is. Yeah. But also actually thinking about it, she washes his towel as well, isn't she? And it's like, that's what doesn't sit well with me, those kind of gender things. It's like her only role in this is cleaning
his towel. She's done his laundry.
She's done his laundry and there's no sort of like, oh, thanks, you washed my towel. It's just like, of course she's washed his towel.
Yeah.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
And it's like her only personality in this episode is her girly stuff. And I'm willing to accept girls like girly stuff. Some girls do. But yeah, that's the problematic bit for me.
It's almost like she becomes sort of maternal there, doesn't she? She's sort of doing the jobs for her, like for Joey, because he's so childish and incapable of doing them himself. Like leaving your towel on the floor is quite a childish thing to do.
Yeah.
And she's sort of becoming his mum, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, Joey is an infant, isn't he, at heart?
Yeah.
And you do wonder if Chandler probably washed his towels when Chandler lived there previously. I imagine that is probably the case. But yeah, but that's the sort of Chandler, Joey, Janine storyline. Where do you want to go next? Teeth or Ralph Lauren?
It's funny you're saying Lauren and I'm saying Lauren.
Yeah.
Do you always say Ralph Lauren? Is it just because we're talking about an American show?
It's just because in Friends I say Ralph Lauren.
Lauren, yeah.
I watched this last night. Let's talk Ralph Lauren then. Let's talk Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, because I was thinking, would I? Probably. And then I wanted to see Kenny, the copy boy. I'm really gutted I didn't get to see him.
He sounds fit.
Yeah, he does sound fit.
So
quite prolific with women, it turns out.
Well, I know, that's what made me want him even more.
It's interesting that you say that, because so there's a lot of stuff leading up to this, but the premise is that Phoebe goes to photocopy something at Rachel's work, which in itself is mad. Like, can I come to your office and photocopy something?
Again, you feel like as a comedy writer, the note you'd get is, can we get a more plausible way of getting her there? Like, if you want to get her there, can we try some other ways?
Yeah. Phoebe needs to do some... how about Phoebe needs to do some photocopying?
Yeah.
Sure.
What for?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yes.
Don't worry about it, guys.
Irrelevant. And then just goes off on her own with Rachel's key card. I mean, we hear Rachel makes a reference later in the episode. Like, I don't even know how to use my key card. It's like, Rachel's just giving it to Phoebe.
I know.
She's wandered off and used the photocopier. Absolutely no problem. So she meets what turns out to be Kenny the copy guy, who Kenny the copy guy is not a good guy.
Yeah, also,
it's interesting that you say that I wanted to see him and meet him because he sounds fit. Because
I just thought he must be, if he's brazen enough to sort of,
yeah,
he's not going to be howling, is he?
No.
If he's there, if he's picking up at the copy machine, I thought, well, this guy must be pretty charismatic and quite fit. And,
absolutely.
Like, he's thinking quite quickly to make up that he's Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, it's quite opportunistic for him to seize upon Phoebe's ignorance, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting. And I was thinking that all the way through. And having not watched this episode for a while, I was like, ah, that's interesting. He's, you know, lied about being Ralph Lauren and made out with a girl that doesn't really work there. But Phoebe at no point feels very violated by this.
No, she doesn't.
She almost feels flattered, doesn't she, that he's lying.
Yeah, she does, yeah, that really. Yeah. She makes that noise when she realises that he lied to get her to sleep with him. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's not very 2019, is it, this whole storyline? But the thing for me where I went, oh, man, this is weird, is at the end. So Rachel's sort of been getting in with her boss by telling her this gossip, and then she has to tell her boss that the gossip isn't true when she finds out that it is Kenny the copy guy. And, you know, there's this whole back and forth with her boss. But the payoff, which is a really nice one, is that it turns out Rachel's boss once slept with Kenny the copy guy. So I'm like, Rachel's boss has been there for like 20 years. So are we led to believe that at Ralph Lauren in New York, there's basically this sex pest that's been tricking women for 20 years into sleeping with him? Like, every time someone comes into the coffee room for the first time, he's like, I'm Ralph Lauren, let's go have sex. And everyone's like, classic Kenny.
But
doesn't Rachel's boss refer to him as Kenny the copy boy rather than the copy guy, which adds a whole other dynamic to it because it makes him sound about 16.
Well, yeah, and like, has he never had promotion in this all these years? Like, he's just stayed in that.
He's clearly had promotion from Kenny the copy boy to Kenny the copy guy. That has been his level, yeah. We'd love to delve into the life and career of Kenny, really, wouldn't we? He's been there for 20-odd years.
Yeah,
clearly
really
starting
would.
As a boy, like Pete says, probably at 18, you know, in the copy room.
And is that a job? Somebody who just does photocopying for people all day? Is that a job?
In certain things. It's like a reprographics department, I guess, isn't it?
Then I probably would just be trying to get off with everyone because I'd be so bored. Like, just photocopying all day.
Just something to do.
But do you know what I'm going to do today? Oh, I don't know. I'll pretend I'm Ralph Lauren. That's what I'll do today. Yeah. I'm going to... Next person who comes in, I'm going to get off with them. That's what I'm going to do.
Guys, a lot of questions around Kenny. Sex pest Kenny. But... The bit of this plot is Rachel and her boss, isn't it, going back and forward in the lift. And this, like, cameo from actual Ralph Lauren.
Beautiful, that was.
Yeah,
it's so great. And, yeah, it does make you think when a sitcom gets to that level, of course those people want to be in it. But now I'm quite distracted now by thinking about the fact that I didn't, as a woman, sort of register that that's not okay, that he was pretending he was Ralph Lauren to get off with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, 2019-wise.
Yeah.
But... everything that we, all the dialogue, all the things we're talking about now, Me Too-wise, and, you know, it's forcing me to go back over my whole life and all of my interactions and things going, oh, actually, that wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And that wasn't okay. And things, crucially, just because of what you said about Phoebe's reaction, is things I was flattered by. And then I look back and think, oh, I shouldn't have really been flattered by that. Like, being given a job because the boss goes, oh, I didn't think you'd be any good at it, just thought you had great tits. And I was like, oh, isn't that nice? I know it sounds horrendous. I'm almost embarrassed to admit it. But he's like, oh, I just wanted to sleep with you. And I'm like, oh, cool. Wow. Like, 18.
I think that is...
being flattered.
Yeah, and you know, obviously that's not right. But I think there is part of this scenario where you have to reassess what people's priorities are at various ages. Do you know what I mean?
And
it's much easier for us to look, and you know, things have progressed and people are much more aware of that stuff now. But you know, like,
you have got great tits. That is why you're on the podcast.
That's why.
Thanks, Dave.
But what I'm saying is, you're one of the most aware people of all this I know. But in the past, it just shows that, like, what your different priorities were. Yeah, there is a very hefty portion of everyone's, like, growing up where basically being fancied is mainly what we're after.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, massively.
When you're in adolescence, in your early 20s or whatever, it's like, oh, yeah, career will be great. We'll get there. We'll get to that.
Yeah, exactly.
What you really want to do is be fancied by the people that we want to be fancied by.
Yeah.
So there is an element that you would be flattered by that sort of thing. And it's awful. And definitely there's many, many problems with it. But it's probably why you might not have registered that in the first instance, you know, watching it back, because it was like, yeah, you know, someone fancies me and wants to have sex with me, great.
Yeah, and certainly if that's the narrative, and then years ago when you're young and you're watching that, you're like, oh yeah, she's flattered, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay if somebody lies to me because they fancy me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
The position of this podcast, for clarity, dear listener, is that we do not approve of any of this behaviour. So Kim, there's these two great scenes with Ralph Lauren, aren't there, in the elevator. Ralph Lauren has two lines. And they are the same line.
I'd love to know how much he got paid.
I was just thinking that the first time he gets in the elevator and he says, "Hi, Kim," turns around, delivers it. I mean, great bit of acting from Ralph.
Cracking.
Turns around, stands there for 10 seconds and walks out the lift. And then about 10 minutes later, the exact same scene, the exact same line in a
exact
different
same
suit.
Pose, yeah. He's doing in the lift as well.
Yeah. You're right. He must have been there for 20 minutes, yeah. Max. They'll have done three takes of that. I mean, how anyone got it wrong, I don't know. what a strange, like, that you have to really reassess. And it's the moments like this, where, like you say, that Ralph Lauren is so famous. The fact you can just have this throwaway storyline about making out with Ralph Lauren and he's in it.
Yeah.
Is mad.
Mad.
Like, absolutely insane. And just like a testament to how big this show was at the time.
Oh, yeah, it's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you watch that initially, I imagine, and you go, "Ah, oh, ha, 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 it's Kenny the copy guy," obviously, because they couldn't get Ralph Lauren to be in it. And then the brilliant way that they do it is that they do have Ralph Lauren in it, but just completely subverting it in a different way. And yeah. He just wanders in, stands in a lift and leaves again.
Yeah. I wonder if he had any input with the storyline, because it's such a fascinating thing when people play themselves.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I wonder if he is married and if they did want to do a thing where he had a bit of a thing with somebody. And
right.
He was like, I don't want people thinking that. I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, I'd be interested in his input. Because if you're guesting in something playing yourself.
I imagine Ralph Lauren as a company have had a fair amount of sort of say over friends over the past year up till then, because this is something we've talked about before, haven't we, Pete? But when Rachel gets a job at like Bloomingdale's or Ralph Lauren, there must be some sort of dialogue with that company.
Yeah, they must have run it. That's what I was thinking, because they also it's also the way that they make Bloomingdale's look like it is Rachel's dream to work at Bloomingdale's and it is her dream to work at Ralph Lauren. And
right.
They are made to look like these, well, they are very glossy, like high-end brands, obviously. But they are made to look very good, aren't they?
Yeah, so there must have it must be, because you wouldn't take that risk otherwise, would you? There's no reason why Rachel has to work at Ralph Lauren.
No.
She could just work at, you know, you could just make up a fashion house name that she just works at, but it is this really well-known one. So I presume it is probably a fairly heavy whack of money.
Yeah, for sure.
Changing hands for that sort of product placement. So I wonder how often like Ralph Lauren was just involved in Friends storylines.
Yeah.
Again. Just not really how we do it at Ralph. Can you change that? And, you know, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and then maybe one day he
out?
Was just like, yeah, I don't know. Can we get, Pete, should we get Ralph Lauren on the podcast?
Yeah, we can ask.
Give him two lines.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Pete.
Just come in twice. That
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the question I was going to ask you, Beth and Pete, this is in both of your wheelhouses, but not mine, because there's a lot of chat about how good-looking Ralph Lauren is. Do we agree?
No.
No, I just thought I would, possibly, because I thought you could just say you got off with Ralph Lauren then, and that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you never
yeah.
guess who I got off with, guys. Ralph Lauren. Someone wearing a Ralph Lauren shirt. Oh, no, Ralph Lauren, actual Ralph Lauren.
So,
yeah, no, he's not fit, is he?
Right, so this is the reason I ask, right? So because this goes back to what we've just been talking about. So I was like, I don't have like a judgment on this for sure, but I looked at him and went, I don't think he's the sort of man that everyone would fancy. Like,
no.
They walk in, Rachel, Phoebe, Monica and Chandler all make a comment about how attractive he is.
He's hardly a pinup, is he?
And we're still asking how much input he had on this
right.
episode.
Right, exactly.
I'll do what you want, guys. As long as you say I'm proper fit and like everyone in the cast has to fancy me, even the straight men.
Yeah, this is exactly what I was thinking. I was like, we can only come to the conclusion that Ralph Lauren's involvement was basically like, as long as we make it clear, guys, that I am really fit and attractive, then I will be in this episode. Because, yeah, he's not really, is he?
I'm just on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Lauren is not his surname.
Oh, yeah.
His real surname, and it's no mystery as to why he's changed this, is Lifshitz, which is Lifshitz.
Oh,
Lifshitz.
My God.
Which doesn't really scream high-end, does it, to have shit in your surname?
Ralph Lifshitz Polo. Yeah, it's not quite the same, is it? Real first name, Ralph?
Real first name is Ralph, yeah.
Great.
I wonder what young Ralph Lauren looked like, if whether he would previously have been very...
Can you Google that?
Yeah, I am. Still no. Still no.
Still
not
into
really.
It.
No.
Well, there you go. Like, guys, we know why this episode exists now. It's a real PR job to get someone to sleep with Ralph Lauren. was he married in 1999, Pete? This is a real thing. If on his Wikipedia it says divorced 1998.
Oh, my God, that's
then
incredible.
We can say he's like...
One moment, please. Yeah, he's been married to his wife since 1964.
Fair play to Ralph, eh?
Yeah, they were very much together.
Oh, that is nice on one hand, but yeah. A real shame that I would have loved us to have discovered that Ralph Lauren basically used the world's biggest television show to try and get laid.
Yeah, who needs Tinder?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right, the teeth, the headline,
teeth, yes.
The headline storyline in this episode. So let's talk it through from the start, because I've got a lot of questions about the teeth, mm-hmm. Right? Ross has got a date with Hillary, Monica's assistant chef or something or other, who's only just split up with her boyfriend.
He's so predatory, Ross, isn't he?
It's a bit...
He used to be my favourite character, and then I read one of those BuzzFeed articles about how awful Ross is, like gaslighting people and stuff, and I'm like, oh.
That's a shame.
Ruined Ross.
Ruined Ross forever, and Kenny the copy guy. It all comes about because I think Monica and Chandler are chatting, aren't they? And Chandler goes, how's work? And Monica goes, oh, Hillary's still upset because she's literally just broken up with her boyfriend or something. And Ross goes, hey, how about you set us up then? And to be fair, to Ross's credit, he obviously anticipates Monica's reaction because she doesn't go, no, stop being a douche. Like, let her get over it. She's like, yeah, right, cool. When? Tomorrow night? And basically, tomorrow night they're on the date. Here's my main first question. Does such a product exist that can make teeth that white overnight?
I don't know. Who's that guy with the really white teeth? Is it Rylan? What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Rylan Carneal, yeah. Yes.
His teeth are that white in my head. Like, that's... I wonder how he did it.
Yeah, but has he done that overnight? Like, we're led to believe it's within 24 or 48 hours or something.
It looks like he's put proper, like, bright Tipex on them.
Yeah.
It's also the way that under the black light, they are, it's almost like light is coming from the teeth. Like, they are battery powered. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The second question is, have you ever, because I just, the number of things I panic or prepare or anything before a date, before a first date, I've never once even given my teeth a second thought. Do you know what I mean? That's like so far down the list of like, what are you going to wear? How are you going to do your hair? Where are you going to go? What are you, you know, all the so many things to panic about. And Ross seems to have just gone, do you know what, guys? The one thing I need to sort out before this date is my teeth. They are not white enough.
Yeah, it's funny because that isn't set up in any way, is it? Nobody's said anything. He's just all of a sudden gone, yeah, exactly. What should I think about where I might take her on the date? Yeah. No, I'm going to go to the dentist. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Get some tooth whitening trays.
It's really weird. It comes so far out of left field, doesn't it? He just arrives and smiles and goes, you notice anything different? And nobody really questions what... Everyone goes, you're an idiot. You've left this stuff on too long. But nobody really questions why he's done it in the first place.
Is this no, before I know. Or after? Is this before or after his tan incident? Because I just think that ties in quite nicely with Ross obviously being, well, perhaps overly conscious of his appearance and trying to go to some lengths to make himself look better.
Yes,
and,
right, yeah.
Because it's quite, well, it's quite a similar storyline, isn't it? Ross does something to try and make himself look better and it goes wrong.
Mm. Yeah, it's true, actually. It's basically the exact same storyline, isn't it?
Yeah.
The one with Ross's tan is series 10, isn't it? So
it's much later then.
So it's much later.
It's really satisfying, I think, as a woman to see something like that happen, because there's so many things that you prepare for a date as a woman that I think men don't. When you think about waxing and shaving your legs and all the things we do, and whitening teeth is one of the things I've done. Like, I might sort of go, oh, yeah, if I've got a date, I might go, I'll put the teeth bleaching things in a couple of times this week. I don't know if it's something, it's just another way of making yourself look nice. But when you think about doing your hair and your makeup and the money we spend and the, you know, you might buy something new to wear. And I really feel like lots of the single men I know don't put in that effort. And just the amount of times like your tan's gone streaky or you've got bumps from your wax, or like one of my friends had, she'd had a facial and then she got her upper lip threaded and it left really bad bruising. So she looked like she had a moustache.
Oh,
so it's really satisfying as a woman seeing a man have a disaster thing happen, I think.
Yeah, no, that's kind of why I asked it, but you are right. Like I've never, you know, I'd basically just, my thought process would be like, where should we go? And am I going to wear a shirt or a t-shirt?
Yeah, exactly. That's why, so there's a really good meme, like, which is just someone furious. I think it's a Beyonce picture. And just going at when you've waxed your leg, when you've like waxed, you know, this list of things that women do to get a, could we do tomorrow instead?
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's like, really? So that's satisfying.
Yeah, that he's had his, and like you say, Pete, it's exactly the same as when he gets the tan later on. So it is quite a nice sort of consistent trait of Ross's that he's, and Ross is, we do know Ross is kind of vain and paranoid about his looks as well. There's very early episodes where Rachel's having a go of using too much hair gel in his hair. And, you know, he gets really worried about how he looks and really... So it's kind of consistent with his character in that sense. So that we then sort of embark on this series of possible solutions, which is basically like trying to find a colour t-shirt that will tone it down, and they rule out all of the colours. And then Monica says, you know, there was that nice skin line that you referenced earlier. And then Monica basically says, you've got to put some makeup on, which I still not quite followed the logic of.
They did that. That feels like that's there just so Chandler can walk in on him putting makeup on, which is fine by me because it works.
And Ross is really sort of a bit too against putting makeup on, isn't it? He's like, absolutely. Like, it's the worst thing you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, which is, and there, that's where I think, like, the messages that are sent out are a real sort of, in general, problematic. When you go, oh, let's not, you know, young boys who might want to put makeup on, let's not send that message. Let's not do this.
It's weird,
let's
isn't
not
it?
Have that... the, oh, you're not a man thing, because that's always toxic masculinity stuff. It's like, oh, it's so gross, like, doing that, you're not a man if you do this thing. So whilst there's some really brilliant jokes in there, overall, you're just left with this like frustration of, since when is it awful for a man to put a bit of makeup on?
Right. Well, and what's interesting is now watching it back, I didn't even now worry that if someone watched it today, they would be put off wearing makeup. I'd be like, today, it looks a bit archaic and it looks a bit old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just looks a bit like a dinosaur's opinion. So I think people would just watch it and go, ugh.
You're laughing at Chandler,
the
not
90s
Ross
guys.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You laugh at the person who's taken the piss out of. So in that respect, framing it that way, absolutely fine.
But at the time, I think you're right. There would have been.
Yeah, because if people look at Chandler and go, oh, I'm Chandler, because we've all said who we are as friends, I'm Chandler. It's like, that's what you're giving out.
Yeah.
But I think in general, It just works so well for me because visually it is so funny. You just can't beat a bit of visual comedy. And that way he does that when he walks in and he does that slight smile and his teeth just show through is such good physical comedy acting.
He's so good, isn't he?
So good.
Yeah, and there's that brilliant line of Rachel's where she interrupts him asking if she's noticed anything by saying, "What, your teeth? Yeah, I noticed them from outside."
Because yeah,
such
that's
a cutty
lush.
Way of putting him down as well.
So, I saw this from outside. Yeah, that's superb.
She acts that brilliantly as well because she obviously wants to talk about the Ralph Lauren thing. Yeah, so she's got this thing on her mind and she's so dismissive of Ross. It's like,
so
guys, I need to talk to you. He's like, notice anything? He's like, your teeth? Yeah, I saw them from outside. Piped out. Get out of my face. Your teeth are ludicrous. You're mad. Go away.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, David Schwimmer acts this whole thing so well. But so we get the date and he basically doesn't speak for the entire date. He just goes, mm-hmm.
Yeah. In various different ways as well, which the way he makes those noises fit perfectly with the conversation. His tone on them is perfect.
But he basically doesn't open his mouth for what we can only imagine is the whole of dinner.
Yeah.
And then by the end, he sort of probably realised that the noises, he's exhausted just making the noises. So he started holding bread in front of his mouth.
Yeah, that's...
A bit of bread. And there's that nice line about, I just like the smell.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to do is look at this from the other side, right? Because I think Hillary has got some serious issues.
Yeah.
Because Hillary at the end of this date goes, I think we've really connected. She says, this is one of the best first dates I've ever been on. And from her perspective, a man has come round, not opened his mouth, made some creepy noises, and started smelling bread for a bit.
That's
all that's happened. And she's like, this is the best date I've ever... Poor old Hillary. What's she been through in the past?
I know. Can I just pitch that maybe she's exclusively been dating comedians that talk about themselves the whole time? I've been dating all these comedians and actors and you spend an evening listening to someone talk about themselves long enough and you go, oh, that's a great solution. Ross not opening his mouth.
We sort of join this during dinner, don't we? And Ross going, mm-hmm. And it kind of works when she's in full flow telling him about herself. But I couldn't help but imagine what happened when he arrived at her apartment earlier in the day. Because
you'd bring someone in for a hug so quickly, wouldn't you?
Think?
If you were trying to hide
like,
your teeth.
Open the door and you just envelop her in a hug and go, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Get all out and then push her away and go,
yeah. And it is funny. And in some ways it works, in some ways it doesn't, in terms of the plausibility of whose teeth could be that white in a day. But I think that it's that meaning over logic, that Robert McKee thing I always think of. And okay, logically it doesn't work, but the comedy you get from it means that it's enough to forgive the logic for me, for comedy purposes. So I think you let go so much of the plausibility there because of that. Because it's so nice to watch. Also, it works because it is that thing, like my friend with the bruised moustache thing. And, I've had a couple of things before. Like if you've got a big spot or something and you think, they're probably going to be looking at this the whole time. Do I bring this up? Do I just at the start go, right, I've got a massive spot on my face?
Yeah.
And you have those things where you go, oh, I don't know. Do I just address it straight away? And people always say don't address things like that straight away because people probably won't notice.
Yeah.
It's interesting the decision he makes. I would have liked to have seen a bit of that. Do I just tell her? I just fess up and
do
go, look,
complete?
I've left this teeth bleach on. This is really embarrassing. Of course, not for the comedy, but you want to see why that decision's happened, I think.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because like this goes back to what I was saying right at the start. Actually, at the end of the day, it's not that bad. If you turned up to a date and you went, look, before we start, cards on the table, I put some teeth bleach on, and I'll be honest, it's gone a bit wrong.
Yeah.
And you show it, and you probably have a laugh about it for 5 seconds, and then that's it.
Yeah.
The end. And it's probably a nice icebreaker.
Really nice icebreaker.
Yeah. But he's so paranoid about how it's gone wrong and how it looks. And then we get this lovely moment where he finally thinks he's out of the woods because she turns the light off.
Yeah.
And he hasn't clicked that. His teeth are going to basically glow like a UV light under that black light.
Yeah.
So you can almost hear that relief when he's like, oh, nice pictures. Or should I say groovy? Let's be honest, the most implausible thing about that whole storyline is Hillary's apartment. What's she living in? It's like the 1960s. She has not changed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like UV paintings everywhere and
love
a black light.
Lamps.
And then he turns around. And she's so disgusted by it that I feel like, do you know what, Ross, mate? walk away.
Yeah.
Hillary's not for you.
Yeah, not for you at all.
She's had what she thinks is a great date, and she genuinely says the words, "What is wrong with you?" Like,
I know.
Like, he's just like got his dick out. Do you know what I mean? Like, for no reason. Like, that. Those words really belie a completely different
action. They really
action,
do.
Don't
and
they?
I think that's why I couldn't believe how disappointed I was at the end. I was like, no, come on, pay that off better. Make her go, oh, wow, I love really white. There's nothing worse than somebody with, you know, really yellow teeth hasn't addressed it. Like, she should love it.
White teeth are my aphrodisiac. So
so he's done all of that, hiding his face behind the bread for nothing. Like, it surely, you know, it has to be subverted.
Poor old Ross. Poor old Ross. Should we do the quiz?
Let's do the
quiz. Is there a quiz?
Yes.
There is a quiz, isn't there?
There's a quiz, mate. There's a quiz. So, five questions. Attention to detail. Question one, you've already made reference to. So, it's kind of nice when this happens because it gives you a nice running start.
Okay.
What year is this episode set?
1999.
1999. Because Ross makes that good reference of who's got a blacklight in 1999.
Yes.
And again, they reference the years very occasionally in Friends, but it is kind of weird when they do because it takes it away from being so timeless. Because you're like, shit, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I was doing my GCSEs. I was failing my GCSEs.
Before Y2K, guys.
Question two, which famous photographer took the photo of the baby that Janine has hung up in Joey's apartment?
I know this. It's Anne Getty, isn't it? Is it?
We'll give you that. Anne Geddes, yeah.
Geddes. Close. Oh, yes. I thought it was Getty. Close. Get
1 point
for Anne.
Yeah, 1 point for Anne. We'll give you the full point. That is because weirdly, when Janine says it, she's like Anne Giddy. Like she pronounces it.
Yeah, it just stuck in my mind because I knew what they were. I was like, yeah, I remember those.
Yes. Question three. What is Joey's flower arranging tip for Monica?
Oh, I logged this because I thought, I wonder if that works.
Yeah.
You sear the end of the stem in the pan
because
it keeps them fresher for longer.
I mean, that is almost word for word the exact answer. Yeah,
because is that true?
I don't know. Mad.
Because I always have fresh flowers in the house.
I'm surprised that would work because surely, like, if you're damaging the end of a flower, then it can't soak up the water.
Well, yeah, because I always trim them. Because I always have fresh flowers in the house.
Because you're a girl.
Because I'm a girl.
Oh, you're a girl and your flowers. I mean, all I could think then was how mad would you think someone was if you walked in on them frying flowers? I was just like, just had this image of you like getting into your flat at the end of the day and find your flatmate just... Why you got flowers in the frying pan? Oh,
wow.
You have lost it.
Question four. Where was Rachel supposed to cancel a fabric order from?
Oh, gosh.
This is where we get niche. So the context of this, she's in the lift with Kim, her boss. And Rachel's basically admitting that it didn't happen. And she says, you know, that thing I told you yesterday didn't happen. And she's like, you forgot to cancel a fabric order from.
Oh,
and she goes,
my gosh.
Well, two things didn't happen. This is detail.
Taiwan.
Is correct.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Yeah. That's incredible.
Very good.
It is. Did that just come to you in a flash? That's great. Question five for a full house.
Oh my gosh!
Monica says she's going to teach Joey how to make a bird feeder out of just two things. What are those things?
A pine cone.
Yeah.
And I think it's peanut butter.
It is.
Yes.
Very good.
Oh my gosh.
5 out of 5.
And then, because then Joey goes, I love birds.
I love birds. What is she actually doing? Just dipping a pine cone in some peanut butter?
Well, I was imagining that she was sort of smearing it between the layers.
Ah.
And then the birds sort of perch and they can, like, peck into the pine cone.
Yeah. I think she's overused the words. Sort of, I'll show you how to make one. Basically, I'm going to show you how to dip a pine cone in peanut butter and then put it outside. But yeah, 5 out of 5.
Beth oh my Granville. Gosh, that, I'm so chuffed.
That puts you right at the top of our leaderboard that we don't really keep track of, but it
well,
is
well, you
the
will
best.
Be now.
Yes.
I will be.
The best you could have possibly done.
Aww.
Congratulations. Even better. One better than Adam Hess, who has a notoriously wonderful memory.
Yeah, he does.
But he got one wrong. There you go. Thanks for doing the podcast, mate.
Yeah,
pleasure.
Thank you
Thanks
very much.
Thanks for having me. I really, really enjoyed that.
What
thank
an
you.
Absolute treat. Next week, we shall be back, shan't we, Pete, for more Friends with Friends. Stay tuned.
Yes.
For the little bit after the music to find out with whom and which episode. Until then, a goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, we're still here. Look, next week on Friends with Friends is the wonderful actor and writer Yasmin Akram. Hello, Yasmin Akram.
Hi.
Could you tell us, please, which episode you have picked to talk about?
Ah, I interrupted you there. I am going to... Should we do that again?
I think now we've interrupted each other so much and it's been so stilted that I'm just going to leave this as it is.
This is a real behind the scenes.
It's an absolute shambles. Sometimes we're slick, sometimes we're just not. So.
Sometimes it just happens like this. I am picking the one with the proposal.
The one with the proposal. With focus mostly on part one.
On part one, we will just acknowledge part two
briefly.
We'll
touch on part two and, you know, so it's worth you. So if you're doing your homework, go and watch part one. But if it runs over into part two on Netflix.
Hey, let it happen.
Enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a great joke in there. see you next week.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.